Sing a verse of Just As I Am, please. Just as I am with I'm one plea. Enjoyed the song service tonight very much. Enjoyed the sweet and precious prayer that's been offered. Thank God for it. Enjoyed in fellowship, greeting one another as we've come in. Do believe we've met here to worship the Lord, and we meet to have communion and fellowship with one another, but more importantly, to give honor and praise to our Lord and have communion and fellowship with Him. And if we have fellowship, it is in Him that we have it, and we're thankful for that. If you have your Bibles and would like to turn with me tonight, I'd like to read to you from the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, and begin reading right at verse 1 of Matthew chapter 13. The subject matter here is the parable of the sower, that the Lord gave this parable to those that had gathered there by the seaside. And He taught His disciples and others as they gathered here in this parable. And beginning at the very first verse of Matthew chapter 13, we read, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto Him, so that He went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And He spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them, but other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. When the disciples came and said unto Him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they, seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. For in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their ears, and see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed in the stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. But when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some hundredfold, some 60, and some 30. The Lord here gives us a parable to teach us about the wonderful beauty of the Word of God and its effect in the lives of the Lord's people, and how at times this Word can be sown and it not be beneficial, and how it is that at times it is beneficial versus at times it's not beneficial to the Lord's people. I believe tonight one of the most important things we can do is exactly what we're doing as we meet here to worship the Lord. I believe singing the songs of Zion, honor and glorify the Lord, offering prayer unto the Lord, declares unto Him our great needs, although He knows them all. It's letting our requests be made known unto God. We have this the wonderful privilege of being able to ask the Lord for all of the many things that we stand in need of here in this world, knowing that the Lord knows what we need even before we ask. And yet one of the most important things we do when we come to the house of God is we hear the gospel being declared. We hear the word of God preached. We have the seed being sown by those that are called of God, qualified of God, and blessed of God to preach the gospel. And that seed being sown lands on our ears, lands in our hearts, lands as we sit there feeding on the gospel. And it brings forth fruit in our lives if it falls on good ground. We have a message here that, first of all, the sower went forth to sow. And some of the seed, it says, the sower when he sowed, some of the seed fell by the wayside. And before they could bring forth any harvest from that, it says the fowls came and devoured them up. We have in our yard right now a whole lot of seed. I see a few little strands of grass popping up in some places, but I see a whole lot of place where the seed is just laying out on the ground. I also see every once in a while a bird that comes around and drops down in the grass, and he's just out there having a real meal on that seed. And those that he eats, they're not going to bring up any grass. I'm trying to get rid of all my moss in the backyard. Give me some grass. I didn't pull it all up, but I got somebody to pull up all the moss, and now they've sown the grass, and I'm getting grass in spots, but there's still a lot of spots that are going to need some soil. They're going to need some good ground in order for the seed to be of any benefit. Now, God's little children, I think, are pictured in this parable. There would be some who would say, this is a picture of those who are not God's children, and the one that brought forth fruit, that's a picture of God's children. And there are some of God's children that bring forth 30 and 60, and some bring forth 100-fold. But I believe from the scripture, as we read this together tonight, we'll see that this is talking about every one of them, God's children. Matter of fact, it could be talking about any of us tonight. It's each time we come to the house of God and we sit down and we hear the gospel, we come in with a lot of different circumstances, a lot of different thoughts, a lot of different things going on in our lives. We sometimes bring a whole lot with us when we come into the church house and sit down. Sometimes we have not prepared ourselves very much for the service because our thoughts have been everywhere but where they ought to be. Sometimes we haven't been reading maybe as much as we should have read, or certainly not have prayed as much as we should have prayed, or we've come to the house of God and our heart has become maybe a little callous by the things of this world. Now, some might say that a little child of God could not have a heart that could get hardened or a heart that could get callous, but it's in the Hebrew letter that the Lord tells us, as they did in the day of provocation in the wilderness, they hardened their hearts, and we're not to harden our hearts. But today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to hear His voice. Today is the day that the Lord has made, and we are here today for the most important reason of hearing what He would have us to hear tonight and for this week that He is instructing us. I dare say that many times we come to church because it's Sunday night or it's Sunday morning and it's time to come to church, and duty brings us. But we really haven't thought about the absolute importance of what's taking place when the gospel is preached and the word of God goes forth, that the seed is being sown in our hearts as God's children, and our desire is and ought to be that that seed would bring forth fruit. Not so that we would say how good we are or how wonderful we are, but that that fruit would be to the honor and to the praise and the glory of God, that our lives would be changed as a result of hearing the gospel. I hope we desire that every meeting. I hope that every time we come, as a minister of the gospel, I desire so much that the Lord would bless me to be able to sow the seed. Because if the Lord doesn't bless me, I won't have anything to sow. There won't be any seed to sow. And you certainly won't have any fruit if there's no seed sown. We have to sow. And what is the sowing of the seed? Well, he said some of it fell by the wayside. Some fell into stony places. Verse 7 tells us that some fell into thorns and some fell into good grounds. And he said in verse 9, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let me say this first of all tonight. If the Lord hadn't given us ears to hear, won't matter what I say, you won't hear it. Won't matter how clear I am. Won't matter how clear the Lord would bless me to be. If the Lord has not given you an ear to hear, you will not be able to hear. These are some brethren, though, that did have ears, but they did not hear. They did have eyes, but they did not see. They did have a heart that was at one time not gross, because, and the word gross, I know we, in our terminology today, we think of things being gross as something that, you know, that grosses me out. But this word gross really means callous. The heart becomes callous. The heart becomes where it's not fruitful. The heart becomes where it's not, it's become somewhat hard. Now, if the Lord has not already given you a new heart and taken away the hard and stony heart and tended your heart, your heart is already hard. There's no way to harden it up. But what I'm talking about, and what I believe the scripture here is talking about, is God's little children becoming where they get more. They get where they have a heart that's been touched and tended by God, but because of the things of this world, that heart becomes callous, where we don't get as much from spiritual things, we don't understand as much spiritually, we don't feed on things spiritually, it doesn't bring forth as much fruit in our lives because we have gotten so involved and wrapped up in the world and what's going on in the world that you can come to church and you can put in the hour or the hour and a half or 2 hours, and you can come every Sunday morning and come Sunday night and not have any benefit from it whatsoever, because the seed that's being sown falls on ground that is really not prepared for the seed. Now, I don't want you to get for a moment that we can do that on our own. If we try to get good enough to receive it and have our hearts prepared enough to receive it on our own, we're going to fall flat on our face and be complete failures in that process. I'm telling you tonight, when we come to the house of God, it ought to be every one of us praying, Lord, help me feed on the Word. Lord, give me an ear to hear the Word. Lord, give me an interest in the Word. Lord, give me hunger. You know, you can have a great meal, but if there's no hunger, the food can look good, smell good, taste good, but if you don't have an appetite for it, it won't be of any benefit to you, and that's a frustrating thing, isn't it, as a cook? If you've laid out a good meal and you have folks sitting there that really don't have an appetite, it can be a very frustrating thing. Let me say this. As a minister of the gospel, if the Lord blesses you with the liberty to be able to preach the gospel, you want to see God's little children feeding on the Word of God. You want to see them coming with an appetite, with a hunger, with an interest, to where they're sitting there in a sense, just like, this is the most important message that I'm going to ever hear. Now, it's not because I say it. It's not because any other minister might fill the pulpit. But I'm saying to you, every time you go to the house of God to worship the Lord, and you sit together and hear the gospel being preached, you're hearing the most important message at that moment and at that time that you could hear, if the Lord is in the matter. And it's important for us to take interest in it to that extent. He said this, the disciples first came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And he answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. Now, we can see from this that The things that we understand tonight and believe in and hold so dear are not things that we have and hold dear because of the natural man that we are, not because of our nature. Over in 1 Corinthians, a very familiar passage that comes to mind is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We read over here about what we can see and what we can know as children of God that we cannot know as children of the world. Look at verse 9. It says, "But as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." I say to you, every time the gospel is preached, we're telling God's children about things God has prepared for them that love him. The gospel is about those that love him, what God has done for them. And those that love him because he first loved them. You can't love the Lord unless he first loved you. You don't have love to love him with. But this is about the things which God had prepared for them that love him. If you love the Lord tonight, I want to tell you about the things that God has prepared for you. That you that love him, I want to tell you about those things. And the eye can't see that, the ear can't hear it, and the heart can't understand it. But God, verse 10 says, "But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God." So by the natural man and the natural mind, the natural learning, you can't understand them. But in the Spirit, you can understand them. And that's why he spoke to them in parables, because they're hidden from the natural and revealed to the spiritual. They're not something you're going to learn by the intellect of this world. Remember how the Lord thanked his Father? He said, "Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hidden these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes." So tonight, if we learn anything, it wasn't because we got smart enough or our preacher was smart enough. It's because of the Spirit of Almighty God that blessed us to learn and know and grow. And the Bible is written that way. Men who take the Bible and try to understand it just from the literature, just from the language, just from the Greek or the Hebrew or the Chaldean in which it is written, will never come to understand and know the Scripture unless God opens our eyes spiritually, unless God unstops our ears, unless God opens our heart. We can study it and search it out and find it to be maybe a good, interesting book, but we'll never appreciate it to be what it is unless the Lord opens our eyes and our ears and our hearts to understand it. Tonight, I don't believe this is just any book. I don't think you believe it is either. I believe it's the Word of God. I believe it's what he's given us to tell us about our salvation that is in Jesus Christ our Lord. I believe every word of it. I want to know more about it. I want to learn and grow in it. I want to be able to not bring forth just 30 or 60, but 100-fold, and not so that I can pat myself on the back, but that it might be that my life might be more to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. And by the way, if you want to find the most humble in that group, it'll be the one with 100-fold, because one of those fruit that he brings forth is meekness that the Lord has put in his heart. And the more that a brother knows, the more meek and humble that he becomes. Isn't that so unlike the world? The more you know in the natural things of the world, that knowledge does what? It puffs you up. It gets you arrogant. And, "Oh, I know more than anybody else." And that kind of person, I'll tell you, they can do great harm and detriment to God's little children. But the one that's among God's little children that knows the most is going to feel that he knows the least, and yet God will bless him when he opens his mouth for God's little children to see and know. That's the one we want to hear and listen to, because that's the one that's showing evidence of 100-fold blessing. Anyway, he goes on and he says, back over here, he said, "But God had revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God." So what we're talking about tonight in the gospel are the things that God has freely given to us. And what is that talking about? Let's get right to it. It's talking about Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's talking about his death and his burial and his resurrection and all that accomplished for us in our salvation. And when we declare that to God's little children, we tell them from the Word of God that Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and there is no other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved than the precious name of Jesus Christ. There is no righteousness in anyone else. There is no salvation in anyone else. It's not a wannabe, try to be salvation, but that Jesus came to save His people from their sins, and He did just that. And I'm telling you, when you understand that, then the fruit of the Spirit becomes very abundant in the life of a little child of grace who embraces those things. Their righteousness is not their own. It's the righteousness, imputed righteousness of Christ. The love that they have has been given to them by the grace of Almighty God. The joy that they have in their life is a fruit of the Spirit given to them by God. All the blessings that they have, they recognize, come from the Lord and give Him the honor and the praise and the glory. And we have that happen more and more in our life when we come and hear the gospel and learn and grow in the gospel. He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. He says, for what, and we go right to verse 13 in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. And verse 14 is what I'm after. He says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And that means until God works in your life, you'll never hear any of these things. You'll never know any of these things. And not only that, but as God's little children, if we approach these things naturally and try to understand these things with our natural mind, we'll be as blind to them. We will not grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. We have to understand, Lord, it is only by His grace that we can learn these things and know these things. And when we look to Him and use and exercise our spiritual minds, then we're able to be taught and learn and grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. It says, and the disciples came and said to Him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? And He answered and said unto them, I'm back at verse 11 in Matthew 13. He says, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall it be given, and he shall have more abundance. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Now, brethren, it's a scary, frightful thing to think the things that we take for granted, or if we would end up taking these things for granted. If we would end up taking the wonderful gospel message that we've been hearing for granted, we'd take it lightly, wouldn't be interested in it. Do you believe for a minute that God can blind our eyes to where we will not see the beauty in them, or that we, if we take it for granted, that we might lose the joy and lose the blessing? Is that not what's happened to God's children down through time when they forsook the Lord and they hardened their hearts? Doesn't mean we're not His children, but we lose the blessing and the joy and the fellowship that we have with Him. He says, therefore speak out of them in parables. And He says, if whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Tonight, if you love the Lord and you're here to hear from His Word and you're looking to Him, I believe the Lord will bless us. I believe if we ask Him to bless us, He will bless us. I believe if we ask Him to bless our preachers to preach, He'll bless them. And as He has blessed us so wonderfully, I believe He can bless us even more as we desire to grow more in grace and knowledge of the truth. But if we take this thing for granted, God's little children can get to the place where they lose that hunger and that thirst even for these things and fall into great trouble in this world. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. Verse 15 says this, for this people's heart is wax gross. That means they become calloused in heart. Did they have a heart that could have heard? Listen, the Jewish people, when the Lord came to him, he said he came unto his own and his own received him not. They were blessed to see the Messiah, the one they had been prophesying and talking about and been given that in Scripture down through the years. And here he has come and he's shown himself so wonderfully and so marvelously. And yet they close their eyes, their heart waxed gross, their eyes are dull of hearing, their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their heart and should be converted and I should heal them. And tonight as we meet, if we try to trust in any righteousness for our salvation other than our own, we'll be just as blind and just as hard-hearted and just as cold, and there will be absolutely no peace in our lives. But when we trust completely in the Lord and His finished work, there's great, great joy and great, great rest in trusting in Jesus. He said, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them." And that means all of those dear ones that had come in the Old Testament longed to see Jesus is coming. They testified of it. They longed to see when He would be. Oh, isn't it wonderful today that we look back? What they pointed towards and what they said was coming, now we live in a day and time where we look back and we know that He has come. And that He did die on the tree of the cross. And that He did go to the grave. And on the third day He rose victorious over the grave. And today Jesus is seated on the right hand of the Father, making intercession for His people. We believe that tonight because the Word of God has taught us that. And because the Lord has given us an eye to see it and an ear to hear it and a heart to understand it. And the more that we hear it, the more we know about it, the closer it becomes to us, the more it becomes a reality for us every single day in our lives, the more we bring forth fruit to the honor and the praise and the glory of Almighty God in our lives. He says this, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside." Now notice this. He did hear the word. Now who is it that hears the word? Is it the dead alien sinner that hears the word? No, he's dead. He can't hear it. Who is it that has the word sown in his heart? Who has a heart? What kind of heart do we have before the Lord works on our heart? Our heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't have a heart to want to serve God or to desire to serve God. This one has the word sown in his heart. When he hears the word, he understands it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. And this is he which received seed by the wayside. Have you ever been in a meeting and didn't understand exactly what was being taught and had your mind on something else? And if you didn't have your mind on something else, you had the old adversary right close by and he sat down right by you, and while the preacher was preaching, the next thing you know, you're thinking about what you're going to have to do tomorrow, or what's going on, or what you know, or maybe how ugly he is, or maybe something else he said. Have you ever had one of them say one thing and you get upset because he didn't say that just right, and you didn't hear anything else that he said, maybe to even explain what he just had said? And the old devil will work any time that he can to keep us from feeding on the truth in any way possible. He will do that. He is our adversary, the devil. We must understand that we have a real foe in him. And if you make give place to him, the Bible says give not place to the devil, which means if we resist the devil, he'll flee from you. I believe it's very important that we say, "Lord, keep us from the influence and from him coming in and sitting down with us in our meetings." And I'll tell you, if you make room for him, he'll come sit down right by you on the seat and keep you from enjoying the fellowship and the love that you could be having had you just trusted and left it in the hands of the Lord. It says, the seed was sown in his heart, but the wicked one catches away that which was sown in his heart, and this is he which receives seed by the wayside. And he that received the seed into the stony places, the same is he that what? Heareth the word. Now who hears the word here? He's hearing the word. And anon with joy receives it. He not only receives it, but he receives it with joy. Now, what is one of the fruit of the Spirit? One of the fruit of the Spirit is joy. That's where joy comes from. And he receives it and he hears it and he goes, oh my, this is the truth. And he embraces it. And yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word. Now, it didn't say if it arises, it's going to arise. Listen, if we believe and hold to the truth, there's going to be persecution that comes as a result of that. There's going to be tribulation that comes as a result of that. And as old Baptists, we have to understand, not everybody's going to like us. Not everybody's going to accept what we believe. Not everybody's going to hold to the truth that we hold to. Not everybody is going to love you because you love the Lord. As a matter of fact, there are going to be some who hate you because you love the Lord and because you desire to serve Him. The tribulation and the persecution will arise because of the Word, and by and by, He is offended. The next thing you know, the joy that he felt and all of that kind of goes away, and they go away as well. Now, are they God's little children? Well, I believe that they had joy, and I believe that they heard the word, and yet they fell under the entrapment of the devil. Does that mean they've lost their salvation? Absolutely not. Because those that belong to the Lord, they are his elect children, and he will have all of those for whom he died. There will not be one of them that loses out on the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. Well, what happens? Well, they become like David was. He said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Verse 22, he said, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. I ask you, have there been times where you heard the word, and yet while you were hearing it, the care of this world kind of overwhelmed you? The deceitfulness of riches got in the way, and what they do is choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receives seed into the good ground, good ground that had been broken up, good ground that the Lord had blessed, that was able to hear the word and understand it. And when they did, it brought forth fruit, and it was some 100-fold and some 60 and some 30. You know, not everybody gets everything out of a meeting. And not everybody gets everything out of the preaching. Sometimes we come away and there's a benefit that's, as he said, 30, some 30 and some 60 and some 100-fold. And all of it is to the glory and the honor and the praise of the Lord. And brethren, if we are able to sit together and hear from the gospel and learn from the gospel and grow in the gospel, it is to the Lord that all the praise and the honor belongs. And we want to give him all of that. And it is important also that when we come, we do all that we can to feed and learn and to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Don't allow the cares of this world or the deceitfulness of riches. Don't give place to the devil. Don't be inattentive. Don't take it like I can take it or leave it. Remember, this is the Word of God. And just pray that the Lord would bless us, not only to be hearers of His Word, but also to be doers of His Word. I appreciate your kind attention. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you.